Shalom and good morning once again. We are right again in chapter 4, and we want to do this morning the last session. And we are going to look at Ezra chapter 4 from verses 8 all the way to 24. It's a number of verses because they have the same message. You and it has one message. And we are looking at one form of opposition that was so difficult for Israel to resist. The first one, when they came wolves in sheep's clothes, the leaders, they were able to discern. And they discovered which God is at work. And they rejected, they said, they resisted. They said, we don't accept any other God. We don't worship any other God. We don't even need the help of any other God. But when God forces the devil to give, we receive. When God forces self to give, we'll take. When God forces the hills to release, we'll take. When God forces the Gentiles to bring the wealth of darkness, we'll take. But we must know how to discern. To discern, we said, is the spirit that is supernatural, that helps you. It's a gift, some supernatural gift. Paul talks about it, that helps you to know, to differentiate between which God is at work. And I said, is it the God of the hills? Is it the God of self? Is it the God of darkness? Is it the God of heaven? Which God is at work? Or is it the God that is mixture of all of them? We say the God, the mixture of all the gods is called syncretism, where they worship and they mixed up those kind of worships. God just need pure, pure worship. He does not accept any other form of worship. We must worship him in his own terms. And here now, so that one, it says they were able to resist and the devil flee away. But here now, we want to look at this form of opposition that is called false accusation. False accusation. Many people have been fallen into the trap. They have stopped doing what God told them to do because of false accusation. You know, false accusation, it is mixing some truth and some lies to tarnish the reputation or the name of a person, is to use some words that are not untrue against you, to your leaders, to your authorities. Some families have broken down because of false accusation. When a father is accused, maybe to move with outside or to be unfaithful, that family breaks. Or when a wife is accused before the husband, that family breaks. We know some many people who have left jobs because they were accused of that. Now, one time they tried to accuse Daniel in Babylon of going against the king. And they said, no worship of other idol, no worship of other god apart from the god of the gold that they had built. Daniel refused. They came and accused him. Joseph was accused by Potiphar's wife that he wanted to rape her. And she came and said, look, the boy that you brought here wanted to rape me. And this is the evidence. So many times even the accusers bring some evidence. Many people are in prison because of false accusation. Now we will discover that when the builders fell into this form of opposition called false accusation, they stopped building. And you discover they are going to stop for 16 years. False accusation is so powerful. And we need to know how to overcome false accusation. Number one, we need to know that when we hear a message, we hear a brother has fallen back, has stopped moving with God, we don't need to join the enemy and fight that brother or that sister. We need to hear what happened. Because they might have had all the other forms we saw yesterday of hiring of counselors to frustrate and to discourage and to maybe to fight back, to form, to, you know, to cause fear, to discourage, to disguise themselves. And we need to know why they have fallen. And you'll be able to discover how we can be able to overcome those false accusations. And we only do that through the prophetic utterance of Haggai and Zechariah. Zechariah had, and Haggai came as a support to the Israelites who had already stopped building. They had put all the tools down because they could not be able to continue. It was so heavy. They could not resist this. It was so powerful. And may God help us to know how to resist. And what we are talking about here is that we have the people of the land, and they use this again and again. Like in verse 7, in the days of Artaxerxes, the king of Persia, Bishlam, Mithradash, Tabel, and the rest of his associates wrote a letter to Artaxerxes. That is the letter of accusation. The letter was written in Aramaic script, in a language they could understand. Why Aramaic? So that they can understand what they're being accused of. So that they know, and in the Aramaic language. And it is also written, when it's written, it's very hard to destroy. And who did that? Who did the accusation? Rehum, the commanding officer. I want you to see the high-ranking people. They're the one doing this work. And this is what happens even in the government. This is the government, this is the commander. He's the one who's commanding the police, the law enforcers. He's the one writing this. He's the commander-in-chief of them, of defenses. And Shemishai, the secretary, this is another one. Secretary was a very key person. He's the one who was able to write everything that needed to be written and to be communicated. They wrote a letter. They come together against Jerusalem to King Artaxerxes. The king, and this is what they said. Lehu, the commanding officer, and Sheshai, the secretary, together with the rest of the associate, the judges. Look, the judges came together. This is the entire government. It is the legislature. It is the parliamentary, and it is the executive. This is the three arms of the government. They are coming together to fight the rebuilding of the wall. And this is what you see a lot in these last days. You see the three arms of the government coming to fight the true worship in these last days. You see the registration, you see the judges, or judiciary, and you see the parliamentaries, and even the army, those who force or those who enforce the law, the officials, an administrator over the people from Persia, Uruk, and the Babylon, the Aramites, and Susa, and the other people who the great and honorable Ashurnipal deported and settled in the city of Samaria, and Eleazar in Trans-Euphrates. So they wrote a letter, and the letter was an accusation. It was a false accusation, and they were accused that these people have come back, and they have come back from Babylon, and they're rebuilding what they call a rebellious and wicked city. Look at what he said in verses 12. The king should know that the people who came up to us from you, the technologies came from you, have gone to Jerusalem and are rebuilding that rebellious and wicked city. Now, and I want you to see, they are already, the king who released them is not in power again. So they wait for another regime. They wait for another rulership, another administration. All is through another administration now. But they acknowledge that they came from there. But they say they are rebuilding that rebellious and wicked city. Is that true? Not true. Jerusalem was not rebellious. It was not wicked. In fact, according to the Bible, they were given the mandate to rule. They were there because of the good of the people. They were there as blessings. According to God, the Bible says that Abraham was told, go and become a blessing to the people. But they looked at them as rebellious and wicked. That's how people look at the church today. It would be good for us to know that the people are not happy with the church at any one time. And they look at it as rebellious and as wicked city. False. But that's how they look at them. Then they say they are restoring the walls and rebuilding the foundation. Give the truth, that's true. But they have mixed with the lies. Furthermore, the king should know that if this city is built and its walls are restored, no more taxes, tribute, and duty will be paid, and eventually the royal revenue will suffer. Now, these people, Jerusalem continued to give tribute when they were there, but when they were in charge, they were given tribute themselves. That was very true also. So you see, they're saying true and untrue things because they were given the mandate to go and become a leader. Now, since we are an obligation to the Paris and it's not proper for us to see the king dishonored, that's untrue. People who are writing, they did not love to be under Pasha. They did not enjoy. But now they're making themselves that we are loyal to you. We are sending this message to inform the king so that as such may be made in the archives of your predecessor. Now, look what they say. Let such be done to a certain, but they are directing what such should look like. That in the records, you will see that this city was a rebellious city, troublesome to the kings and province, and appraised with history of sedition. That's why this city was destroyed. Now, you discover that the city was not destroyed because of rebellion against the people. It was destroyed because they rebelled against the King of Kings. But it said that it was destroyed because of that. Or they never knew that, that it was not destroyed because they rebelled against other kings. In fact, they were destroyed, and we're going to see the next session, because they rebelled against God. So we inform the king that if the city is built and its walls are restored, you will be left with nothing in Trans-Euphrates. That's not true again. So they are mixing some truth and some lies. The king sent this reply to whom the commanding officer, Shushai, secretary, and the rest of the associates living in Samaria and elsewhere in Trans-Euphrates. Greetings. The letter you sent us has been read and translated in my presence. I issue an order, and a search was made, and it was found that this city has a long history of revolt against the kings and has been a place of rebellion and sedition. Now, you see, this king, because he was looking for that long message, he said so. And they said, yes, Jerusalem has had powerful kings, that's true, ruling over the whole Euphrates, that's true, and taxes, tributes, and duty were paid to them, that's true. Now issue an order to these men to stop work so that the city will not be rebuilt until I do so order. Be careful not to neglect this matter. Why let this threat grow to detriment of the loyal interest? As soon as the copy of the letter of the King Artaxerxes was read to Rehum and Shushai's secretary, they went out immediately to the Jews in Jerusalem and compelled them by force to stop. Thus, the work on the house of God in Jerusalem came to a standstill until the second year of the reign of King Darius of Persia. As we end up here, we want to you to know that that false accusation was so powerful that they stopped the building of the stronghold. They forced them to stop. They compelled them by force to stop. It was by force. And they stayed until another reign of another king called Darius. I want to tell you that this is one of the reasons why many people are down because of the false accusation. Yes, they should. Some of them had not yet given wholly to God, but false accusation fell as a tool in the hands of the enemy. But I also want to thank God, and that's why we should have different president and rulership taking turns. We should not have one king, one president, one governor remaining for too long. Because you see, when there was a new governor, they took advantage and forced them to stop. But when there was a new governor called Darius, it will be able to bring changes. That's why we need some changes in leadership. Father, we thank you. Give us strength so that we may not be bowed down through that which has forced us or through false accusation. In Jesus' name.